passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Second hour is live, and more on the Harbaugh news in just a few minutes with John U. Bacon, the University of Michigan historian. Harbaugh will drop his appeal, and there will not be a hearing tomorrow morning in Judge Judy's court. This is about the game that really does matter down here, and that's Georgia and Tennessee. Seth Emerson tweeting that Kirby Smart said they did not have a good practice on Tuesday. The last five practices were good. He said adjust your expectations accordingly. I'm not really sure what that means, but Seth Emerson does. Good afternoon, Seth. Tell us all about it.
Well, first off, Paul, apologies for the bad timing of the green come on at 4 without knowing that Jim Harbaugh news would break 10 minutes beforehand. We'll move on. I take Kirby at his word, and we asked Tate Ratledge afterwards what that meant, and he said that schematically the practice was fine, but they just didn't have the energy and enthusiasm that they should have. And you know, I a lot of people tend to think that everything Kirby Smart, like they tend to think everything Nick Saban says, is calculated, and sometimes it is. Sometimes I think they just say what they're thinking, particularly right after a practice, and I take him at his word that Tuesday's practice wasn't great, but that was Tuesday. Wednesday's practice might have been great. Thursday's practice today might have been great. Tomorrow's walkthrough may be great. We won't know whether it really had any real meaning until we see how Saturday goes.
And which brings us to the question, I think, and I'll have a better idea tomorrow in Knoxville, but it is a weird week, Seth, expecting this to be maybe the preeminent game on the calendar in the SEC this year, and it just doesn't feel that way yet because of the way Tennessee played last weekend, and you connect that to the dominance of Georgia. I'm guessing that's on Kirby Smart's mind.
I think it probably is. I think that I have always targeted this as Georgia's most losable game because of where it's being played and because of the expectation that Tennessee would be good enough to pull off the upset, particularly in Knoxville. And honestly, I think that expectation would still be there if both teams had not played the way they did the other weekend. Between Tennessee getting rolled by Missouri as that game went on, especially, and the way Georgia rolled over Ole Miss, you've kind of created this expectation that it's just going to be more of the same. And I don't know, maybe it will be, but I still see, you know, a potential there for the upset. And it's probably going to be one of those, Paul, where if Georgia comes out and plays well early, they do have a chance to just tamp down any enthusiasm that the crowd and the Tennessee sideline has, and they win convincingly there. But it's also one of those that, I mean, I expect they'll be close to 100,000 in the stands there, and the longer that Tennessee can stay in this game, the more that the chance of this being a real game exists.
In terms of this run, I think if I have it correctly, Florida, emotional game, biggest rival on the schedule, and then Missouri, which was a brutal game, and then the Ole Miss game. I don't know what that was, but it was a big game. Is there any toll, any evidence this team? There hasn't been any evidence this team has led up in the second half of the season, but there are some of those games early on that you could point to.
I may have said on your program, may have said to some other people that in the first half of the season, it felt like Georgia may need a loss. That they, sometimes you just win so much despite turnover in the program, despite things happening on the field, that you're just kind of always expecting the team's going to win. You're expecting sometimes the guy next to you is going to make a big play. And that at some point it may catch up to Georgia, and they may need it to kind of shock them into it. You know, that if you look back at that 2021 Georgia team, despite all the motivation you'd think they had for the Alabama game in the SEC championship, which they did, when Alabama came back and started running away with that game. Georgia, a team that had not really played a close game all year since the opener against Clemson, that team folded. They got hit in the mouth and they didn't have a response. And then they came back and they rolled Michigan and then beat Alabama in the national championship. But as this season has gone on, as we've seen how they've played the last 3 weeks, it may really be that it was the South Carolina and Auburn games. Those were enough that they did not need a loss to shock their system, that they needed the combination of those two games to say, all right, you know, if we play like this against a really good team, it's going to get us, so we better not play like this.
Yeah, Jeff, having heard everything that you and I have heard, I would not recommend a loss right now.
No. I would actually recommend, if Georgia's going to lose one more game, it'd be Saturday. Because if they lose to Tennessee, then beat Georgia Tech and win the SEC title, they're going to the playoff. 12-1 SEC champion, having beat Alabama, is going to go. If they win the next two, but then lose to Alabama in the SEC championship, it's going to get real interesting, isn't it? It's going to depend on what's happening elsewhere. Georgia's been in the playoff at 12-0 the last 2 years. They did not need to win the SEC championship the last 2 years in order to get in, because there were no viable candidates. There weren't enough viable candidates in other conferences. This year, as we sit here right now, there are. But Oregon State could take care of business for that. Or Florida State could lose a game. Or Texas could lose a game. But if everybody wins out, Georgia may need to go 13-0.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know why, I feel very strongly that we're not going to be in this identical situation in 2 weeks. As we continue with Seth Emerson, I want to ask you about the defense, Seth, because it's been noted many times by far more learned people than I am that Georgia seems to have a problem on the opening series. Five straight games, they've given up a touchdown. What's going on here?
Yeah, great question. Kirby's been asked that, and he doesn't have a good answer for it either. It's been a thing all year. But the thing about it is they eventually figure it out. I postulated earlier this week. It was just kind of me talking out of my butt. As kind of a football layman almost, that does this team, the defensive staff, kind of hang back, see what the offense is doing, and then they attack? Or does it just look like that because they play better as the game goes on? But for all the opening drive problems, the most points they've given up all year is still 21. And that, with this offense, that, you know, I think from here on out, if you say that nobody's going to score more than 21 points against Georgia, I think Georgia and the offense, Carson Beck, Mike Bobo and company, will say, yeah, we can top that.
Seth Emerson on the Dogs, and we'll have more to say about that tomorrow in Knoxville. Many thanks, Seth. Seth Emerson from The Athletic. We'll take a short break. John U. Bacon joining us in a few minutes. We'll update you on the biggest story of the day. It just happened. Jim Harbaugh's suspension will remain. We'll explain the details in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So more on the Jim Harbaugh news. So now that we know he will miss the next two games, he missed the first three. He will miss the last three. So Jim Harbaugh will have been suspended for six of the 12 games this season on Michigan's schedule. But everybody's out to get them, right? Right?
Sure.
Frank is in Pennsylvania. Hello, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? So, you know, this whole hardball thing, I really don't think the punishment fits the crime. You know, he went to the core of the integrity of the game. So I really think a fitting thing would be for them to lose a couple of games based on it, and they'd be pulled out of the CFP. You know, what they did to Penn State, I'm not comparing the two, but they beat up on Coach Paterno pretty hard. So that's my feeling on it.
Well, you're not alone, Frank. I don't think there really is a good penalty because we don't know in totality what he did. The Big Ten obviously felt he did enough. What is really revealing here is that the university has said, you know what, we can't run the risk of the Big Ten gaining more information from us that could be terribly incriminating. So we're calling. I mean, this happens in every negotiation. You know, you often I've read enough books, and you all have. You know, why does somebody plead? It's not because they're always guilty. It's because they just know that they're going to lose. Now, I'm not trying to equate the two, but you make deals with prosecutors, you make deals in lawsuits a lot of times just to end it. Usually it's for the average folk, you do it because you can't afford it. That's not the case here. Michigan could afford to take this to every court in the land. But they finally decided the damages outweigh the pluses if they keep fighting for another game or two when I think they've determined that Jim Harbaugh's presence on the sideline is somewhat minimal. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Rick is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. So, got a couple of things I want to talk to you about. First off, let's pair up some callers with coaches based on how unlikable or irritating they are. So, first off, AC, I think he's got to be Jim Harbaugh. Bash has to be Ryan Day, and Augie has to be Dabo.
That's pretty funny.
You know, as far as AC goes, Paul, I think if George Harrison had met him before the concert for Bangladesh, he just would have canceled it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. What a shot.
So hey, Paul.
Maybe the most famous concert. I realize Woodstock was before that, but Woodstock was a commercial project. The concert for Bangladesh in 1971 was really the start of what would you say, Randy, was the benefit concert. Yeah, I mean, there's been so many great concerts since then to help and raise money. But that was the one that I think really got it going.
Yeah, that was the genesis of Farm Aid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the aftermath, you had Live Aid, Farm Aid, all these. And there's still, I mean, every year there's something going on. But that was the one that I think jump-started it with George Harrison.
So, hey, Paul, on LSU quarterbacks, quick question. If we're doing a Mount Rushmore and let's say we throw up Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels up there, who would be your other two to put up on the Mount Rushmore of LSU quarterbacks?
Um, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels. I might put Burt Jones on there from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I would put Burt Jones up there.
And I'm not really familiar with what he did down there, but what about Y.A. Tittle?
That's going way back.
All I know is he went to LSU. I don't think I've ever seen any game film of Y.A. Tittle at LSU, but I know he played there.
I haven't either. It's kind of like you could say the same thing about I've never seen any game film on Bob Pettit, but I know he's an LSU great.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely.
I guess for me, the guys I've seen, I would put Tommy Hodson up there maybe before Jamarcus.
Well, you know, Jamarcus Russell, maybe one of the most interesting stories ever. I mean, he was the number one pick in the draft. He was so good, but I think because of what's happened to him afterwards, you just don't really think of him very fondly. Was Matt Flynn the quarterback on the championship team in 2003? Okay.
I think Matt Flynn was.
I don't know where he fits into it, but I mean, Y.A. Tittle was pretty amazing.
Of course, Matt Mock was the whole start of the number 18 at LSU.
But by no means am I an expert on LSU football.
So, hey, one other question. Booger, Marcus, and Ryan Clark are all three LSU players that are, you know, big time on TV. And I know you spent more time around Marcus than the other two, but who do you like the best on TV of those three guys?
Well, I probably have spent a pretty equal amount of time with Booger McFarlane. I think Booger is probably the most charming of the three. Because he's so even keeled, and I really like that demeanor.
Yeah, I mean, they're all three have their pluses and I guess minuses. Marcus is definitely more the homer of the three of them. But I
spent a lot of we used to do the film room. I did probably three or four of those with Booger. We traveled a lot together. We used to do Sunday morning at ESPN together. So I've probably spent a little more time with Marcus because we were on the road. But I've probably spent almost a pretty equal amount of time with Booger. And I think Booger just spits it out. He doesn't care whether he went to LSU or it doesn't matter to him. He just tells you the way it is, and I admire that in a commentator very, very much. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Randy is in Georgia. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Randy, we're doing great. Thank you.
I got about three things that I want to ask you real quick. How about the domination from Georgia last week? Do you think Carson Beck will lead them all the way?
Very well. He's playing. He's having a phenomenal season.
Yes, and who is your Final Four in the playoffs as of now?
I think I'd probably still go with Michigan right now. I don't know what I'm torn on Ohio State. I just I think Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Ole Miss.
Ole Miss in the Final Four?
I'm just kidding you. I was seeing if people here were awake.
How about Texas? Texas.
Something tells me Texas is going to slip up. I don't know why.
I really think Oregon should be in there. Oregon.
Yeah, I probably do like Oregon too. I like about eight teams right now. Hey, Randy, thank you for the call. Sandra is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Sandra.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
I've had a story about Tennessee. About 20 years ago, I read a series of mystery books about the coroner from the state of Tennessee. And it was written by the coroner of the state of Tennessee about him. And his offices were below the stadium. Did you know that?
I did not. I mean, I knew there were offices in Neyland Stadium, but I didn't know the coroner's office was.
And he kept all his samples down there.
Oh, wow.
And there was also...
Sandra, I had a class in Neyland Stadium my first year of college, and you know late in the fall, it was like an afternoon class. I made sure I never took another one of those, and it really got in the way of my socializing to have a class at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was creepy like in November when it would be dark. And I mean, it was a scary place to be. There were some unfortunate crimes that occurred in the bowels of Neyland Stadium.
I was wondering if it was still there. Do you know?
I don't think so. I think there are still offices in there, but let me tell you Monday. I'm going to walk over there tomorrow. I'm literally going to be right next door to Neyland. I have a function I need to do, so I'll find that out. Hey, thank you very much. John is up next in Florida. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How's it going? Listening to your interview earlier with Seth Emerson and all, and I kind of disagree on something he was saying about the fact that if Georgia loses this weekend that and go win the SEC 12-1, they would get in, because I would think that Georgia probably needs to win out, and I would think you would also hope for some chaos at the top.
Yeah.
Maybe between, you know, Washington, Oregon, all that. Because I want to see Georgia and Alabama both get in.
Yeah, but John, you're right, because it would not be a great loss.
Exactly.
And Alabama right now has a great loss. We'll take a break. John U. Bacon on the breaking news out of Ann Arbor. We'll have the latest for you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
We're back with a breaking news story of the day from the University of Michigan. There was a hearing scheduled for tomorrow morning in Michigan where the school would try to get a temporary restraining order. That's now out the window. Statement from UM. This morning, the university, Coach Harbaugh, and the Big Ten resolved their pending litigation. The conference agreed to close its investigation, and the university and Coach Harbaugh agreed to accept a 3-game suspension. Coach Harbaugh, with the university's support, decided to accept this sanction to return the focus to our student athletes and their performance on the field. The conference has confirmed that it is not aware of any information suggesting Harbaugh's involvement in the allegations. The university continues to cooperate fully with the NCAA's investigation. John U. Bacon has been with us many, many times, with perhaps the most influential and leading voice, the historian from the university. On the University of Michigan. John, thank you. We've had a little while for this to sink in. What do you know, and why did they do it?
Great questions. I don't have complete answers yet. I don't know anybody outside the building who does. I would say two things. The two rational reasons for Michigan to settle would be that the due process argument was not enough by itself to win the case tomorrow at Washtenaw County Courthouse, and I've heard that from others. Second of all is the finality of knowing what your punishment is going to be versus the Big Ten title game, potentially college football playoffs and so on. But the flip side, Paul, I don't know a universe based on my 5 minutes literally of law school where you're certain you're going to win your lawsuit and then you still settle. So clearly Michigan to some degree got cold feet on this and decided to settle based on instead of just flat out losing. So they must have had reason to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. And but do they gain, though, because some people think as discovery was unfolding, the risk went higher.
They must have calculated something like that. I know the NCAA is still investigating as we speak, and I'm hearing a lot of things about that. They're all second, third hand, so I'm not quite sure about them. But the NCAA investigation seems to have been accelerated, and if that's the case, then perhaps Michigan's cutting their losses and just getting the Big Ten out of the way for now, and accepting that loss. However, it's not a small loss here, I don't think. The Maryland game, if Michigan can beat Penn State without Jim Harbaugh, they can probably beat Maryland without Jim Harbaugh. But Ohio State is the kind of game that it's all hands on deck. It's very difficult to imagine being at full power without your head coach. Jim Harbaugh has been in a lot of those battles. So this is a setback for Michigan. It's hard to spin it any other way.
Yeah, and I don't. I've seen some people, you know, say it's a win-win, but you're right.
I don't see it that way.
Petitti only – it was only a three-game suspension, so – after playing, in my estimation, maybe not yours, the victim card all week long, John, it just seems like a wild U-turn here.
It does seem that way, because before this, it seemed like, you know, both barrels, let's go to court, let's do this. They're dying for the case last Friday before the Penn State game. That was pushed off till this Friday. And it seemed like Michigan was full blast on this. So It looks like a back off from the outside. Again, I do not know the details, and what I'm hearing is not reliable enough to put any chips on, but perhaps in the next 24 hours that'll clear up. But it's hard to see it as anything other than a step backwards for Michigan.
It doesn't matter now, but maybe it does in the sense that this hearing tomorrow, everyone assumed, John, and maybe because we watch, you know, too many movies and we've seen too much politics and in judicial matters, but this was going to be easy for Michigan because it was a local judge. But I've read some of your stuff, and you've said this judge, even though the connections to Michigan are deep, has not necessarily been a friend of the school, and at least from when he has the robe on.
Exactly right. Judge Connor has ruled against Michigan in some important cases, so that itself I didn't take as a sign either way. So the idea of it being just a fait accompli with the local judge, that was not going to wash. But Michigan put out the 10-page letter and made it public last week, laying out their case that Big Ten has not followed its own due process. And it looked to me like they had a pretty good case in many ways, that the Big Ten, the NCAA, never have overlapping investigations. That's part of the code, the written code in the Big Ten handbook. And when that happens, of course, the Big Ten defers to the NCAA, which only makes sense. But they obviously backed off that plan. So we'll find out why. But for being great guns charging forward until this moment, this seems to be a cooling of the heels.
John Baker with us. John, I'm curious about the hierarchy there. We've seen Santo Ono out in front. He seems like he's had a lot of fun tweeting and cheerleading on. We haven't really seen or heard anything, I don't think, out of Warren Manuel, the athletic director. Can you give us the behind-the-scenes machinations of how the hierarchy works at UM?
Sure. The previous president, Mark Schlissel, who left a year ago, decidedly did not like big-time sports. He went to Johns Hopkins, Brown, and schools like that. So where sports are not a big deal, obviously, not like at Michigan. But Santa Ono came in a year ago, and he has been full blast, both feet in the athletics corner, very visible, often wears his jersey at various sporting events, including football, of course. He has been backing Jim Harbaugh to the hilt. Ward Manuel, the athletic director, did come out with a very strong statement in Harbaugh's defense. But you're right, he's been a whole lot quieter than Santa Ono. And I don't think it's, at this point, a big secret that Jim Harbaugh and Ward Manuel are not close friends. And that might be putting it mildly. That said, if Ward Manuel wanted to get rid of Harbaugh, his best chance was 2 years ago after the 2020 COVID season. Michigan is 2-4. And if you took a poll of Michigan fans, I don't know if Jim Harbaugh would have won that poll, frankly. So he could have gotten rid of him then and chose not to and gave him a, you know, show me contract. But still, he took him back. Nonetheless, that is part of the dynamic as far as Harbaugh returning after all this. I've always maintained, Paul, that it has less to do with whatever the NCAA or the Big Ten does and a lot more to do with what Ward Manuel and Michigan do in terms of his contract and the support that he gets.
So where is that right now, John?
Wow. I thought I knew a week ago, and I know a whole lot less today. I'll say that. I've been hearing still from people in high positions of power on the Hill, as we say, in the administration, not athletics, and several regents and so on, that they're going forward with a contract. That's the last I heard 2 days ago. But whatever's going to happen next, no doubt will be a factor here. So, and if the news is particularly bad for Michigan, then probably a lot of things change. And right now, as I said before, I hate to tell you, Paul, nobody knows anything, but today's development is a very interesting one.
Well, and let me break, expand on that a little bit. You mentioned something on your X line, or whatever it's called these days, about one of the assistant coaches at Michigan suddenly disappearing from social media. What do you know about that?
A little bit more now than when I posted that about an hour ago. It's Steve Klingscale. He's the co-defensive coordinator for Michigan. Then I heard, and stupid me on this one, that he had actually brought the Instagram, Twitter/X account down a few days ago, but he's maintained his Instagram account, so that might not mean a whole lot of anything. We don't know, but it could be entirely benign.
You know, these young guys love the IG. John, let me just close by looking ahead. You know this football team pretty well, too. We haven't talked about that. I'm assuming they get by Maryland. Decent team. But the effect of Harbaugh being off the sidelines next week in Ann Arbor, how do you calculate that part of the equation?
Very hard to calculate. But look, Jim Harbaugh played in three of those games, and he won two of them. He's coached a bunch of those games, won the last two, of course, as everyone knows. He's a force of nature and a guy you obviously, if you're Michigan, you want him on your sideline to make sure he's cheering your guys on. So I think regardless of anything else, that's a bad, you know, a bad loss for Michigan. On top of that, if it turns out Michigan is backing up because Moore is coming out, then that will also, the Michigan versus the world argument gets weaker. So it depends on who, what, where, and why, and that will probably be coming out in the next few days.
John, many thanks. Sean Bacon joining us on the absolute latest from the University of Michigan. Nobody knows more than John about the behind the scenes there. So again, I realize a lot of you are coming and going right now. It's a busy Thursday afternoon. Michigan has dropped its appeal. There won't be any temporary restraining order hearing tomorrow. They have simply folded the tent and said, we will except the three games. What that means is that now Jim Harbaugh will have missed six out of the 12 games. He will be eligible if Michigan advances to the Big Ten championship game and obviously the CFP. We'll take a short break. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back and appreciate you being here. Billy is up next. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
The legend, I hope you get feeling better. And I've been the prick. I hope they call in while I'm on the phone. If you would, when Ric Flair, you have him on there, give him my number and have him to call me because I'm a big fan of his. And Jim Ross, too, and my address for an autograph is 144 GUINEA Lane, Spruce Pine, Alabama, 35585. My last name is Pounders.
Billy, I'll make sure Rick gets that. Thank you very much. Lee is up next in Seattle. Hey, Lee.
Hey, hi, Paul. Long time no talk to.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the other day that Dabo Swinney would be really good, fit in nicely with Texas A&M. My big explosion of the head is how does Dabo Swinney, who does not like what's going on now and the future as far as NIL and the portal, go into a program that's all it was? I mean, I would think Dabo's head would explode.
Yeah, I think it would too. But, you know, sometimes, you know, whether this is in employment, your personal life, coaching, sometimes you just need a change. And I think Dabo needs a change, and I think the clean air of Texas would be good for him.
But I mean, how can he embrace a program or a philosophy that he's been so opposed to, I guess?
Well, it comes down to a very simple fact that it's about winning, and he's not winning right now.
Right. But he's not also not doing anything to help change
Well, he has finally embraced NIL. And I think ultimately he's going to see the light, Lee. Thank you very much. Good to hear from you again. Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul. I guess it's a big blue day in Michigan today, huh, Paul?
Yeah. In spite of all the spin, Professor Bacon did not seem like it was a good idea. A big win for the Michiganders.
Well, Paul, I want to tell you what I'm assuming might happen. And if I get a little off track, correct me. And then I have two questions about it. It seems like the evidence was so strong that they knew that they couldn't fight the case and that it might make it worse. So he accepts his punishment. But, Paul, I don't believe Jim Harbaugh didn't know anything about it. I mean, somebody on that coaching staff knew. I mean, that information was passed.
Trey, you just broke the code. If they quit now, they can hang their hat on. There's no evidence directly linking Harbaugh, and they can claim that he didn't know, and that's all for show.
But Paul, my question to you is this, because we all know that information was shared with that coaching staff. Somebody knew. So my question to you is this: in the future, do we see some of those assistant coaches being fired and let go also? Because somebody knew something. It wasn't just kept.
Trey, you're absolutely right. I mean, right now they're in the midst of a national championship run, but I think they discovered something either directly or indirectly. And you don't know. I mean, the Big Ten commissioner may have said to the president or the athletic director,
Paul,
go ahead and do this if you want, but we are, you're going to get exposed. Or frankly, there was some back channel communication between the judge and someone else. And I know that sounds untoward, but there's nothing, you don't have to look too far to question that the ethics on the judicial branch are pretty shattered compared to what we think they should be. Thank you very much for the call. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul looking good, sounding good as always. I know I might surprise you with my comments tonight, but let me just say this about Dabo. I wasn't really happy with them paying the players. I wanted to stay as pure as it was, just like back in the 60s when a lot of coaches did not want to take black athletes on their teams. And I know Dabo's against the portal. I was, too. I thought, man, this is getting too much like the pros. I can understand that. But change is something we all have to get used to because it happens every day. And we're seeing it in the streets of this country tonight and every night. Change is going to happen. And what we do with that change is what will happen with our world, if it's football or the United States of America. Well, I sound pretty political, and I ain't doing much time, Bob.
You sound great. Semper Fi, Cat Daddy. Buzz is in Michigan. Hey, Buzz.
It's in Mississippi.
Hey, Buzz, in Mississippi.
Yes, in Mississippi. Yes, I've been listening to your show and been talking about Coach Harbaugh up there, and I'm just really wondering, have we settled anything? You've not settled anything as far as his win-loss record or the team's win-loss record because they are still winning without him. And I heard a person a while ago, don't you think the rest of the coaches know what he knows on the sideline? So you think they're just going to just forget what they know and continue on
doing something different? I understand what you're saying, but you're fooling yourself if you don't think during the course of a tight game that three or four decisions by the head coach can and usually do impact the final score. Harbaugh was not needed in the Penn State game. He will not be needed, but he's playing the second best team in the country next Saturday. And there may come a moment when you have to decide, is this where I pass on third down? Do I go for it on fourth down? Do I go for two? Do I try an onside kick? Do I take a timeout? There are a million places in a game that an elite head coach can make a difference. They don't matter in two-score games. They don't matter in blowouts, but they can matter when you're playing someone you're equal, which is exactly what Michigan will be doing next week against Ohio State. Again, I realize some of you are just coming on board. The news is just out that the University of Michigan has folded its tent, will drop its appeal, will not have the temporary restraining order tomorrow, and Jim Harbaugh's suspension from the Big Ten will be upheld. He will not be in the game on Saturday, nor will he be eligible or available for the Ohio State game. We have a long way to go. We hope you'll stick around. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.